dreadful wizened claw gripped my shoulder. It was cold, drawing the heat from my body. I spun round. Standing over me was a creature from a nightmare. A terrible collection of rags, or was that skin, hanging off a skeleton that glowed like dying coals. It had no face, just a dreadful smoky glass skull with two awful blanks for eyes. I stared at it. It stared at me. That glassy mouth opened, clicking, as though it were trying to say something. I jumped back from its grasp and fell into the doctor's arms. He'd appeared again, behind me. Sorry, I'm unstable. But enough about me. What about you? Impossibly brave, he spun round, facing up to the monster. A minute ago, my life was utterly normal. Absolutely nothing unusual and definitely no monsters. Suddenly, men and ghosts were appearing out of thin air. I think I may have screamed. Sorry about that. Bad day. If I could have had my time over again, I wouldn't have screamed. No, I'd have fainted. That would have been much better. The monster grabbed onto the doctor with its terrible claws. Shadows poured out of them, surrounding the doctor, and he writhed in their grasp. "Don't be alarmed!" he cried through gritted teeth. "It's simply sucking the life out of me. Nothing to worry about." He paused, like he was forgetting something. "Oh yes, perhaps if you could just give me a hand, that'd be absolutely dolly." "How?" I asked. "Stop screaming, for a start. I've got a terrible headache. Falling through cracks in time is a rubbish way to travel." The doctor struggled against the creature and let out a moan of pain as its grip closed tighter. "Another thing, if you could just reach into my jacket pocket. Left jacket pocket. Thank you." I pulled out a strange cylindrical wand. "Now then, Penelope, could you point it at our new friend?"
"Can't you do it?"
The doctor sank to the ground, the monster pressing down on him.
"Teeny bit busy," he grunted. "Sorry."
"Fine." I held the object up.
"Push the button," he cried. "At the bottom."
"What?" The doctor shut his eyes.
"Sorry, passing out right now."
He gasped and fell over. I finally found the button. Many years later, I would learn that the device was called a sonic screwdriver. Right then, it behaved like the world's loudest torch. It made my ears ring, but it didn't affect the creature. It did, however, attract its attention. As though it had drawn strength from the doctor, it reared up, filling the room, a giant creature of bones and shadows. I had never been more frightened. I was alone with death, and it was coming for me. It swooped down. I heard it speak, a dry voice screaming something. I couldn't quite make it out, but it still chilled me to the bone. The doctor was suddenly at my side. He took the sonic screwdriver from my hand. "Didn't work, did it?" he said absently. "Sorry, Penelope. Every now and then it lets me down." The doctor was staring death in the face and he didn't seem bothered. "Hold my hand," he commanded me. "Excuse me?" The doctor grabbed me as the creature reached us, its touch icy. It spoke again. This time I could hear what it was saying. One word. Then it fell back, writhing on the floor, and faded away. Stunned, I stood there, panting for breath, while the doctor jabbed at thin air with his sonic screwdriver. I suddenly realised the chamber door had opened, and a party of elderly tourists were standing there, gaping at us. Someone took a photograph. "I'm terribly sorry," I gasped, still out of breath. "We're closed. Mice!" The tour party hurriedly withdrew, and the doctor and I were alone again in the room, grinning.